cause I'm feeling kinda taller than you
lately.
I'm feeling kinda stronger than you
lately.
I'm feeling kinda better than you,
and I know just what
matters. I'm a soldier now in this world. I stand alone, I can't be strong. I walk the miles, I made it home. It's good to know without you I made it. Soldier girl, in my world, I took the fall. Now I stand.
Okay, so I am back, and we're going to discuss the contrasting male enhancement policy for male veterans. Contrast that to the OBGYN controversy for women veterans and the disturbing signal that this sends to how the current political administration views and protects women who defend this country. We're going to start by looking at two policies and two realities that, when placed side by side, expose a disturbing imbalance. On one hand, we got the VA's continued coverage. They already promote male enhancement medications like Viagra, Cialis, all those similar kind of prescriptions for male veterans. But then on the other hand, we have women veterans, like I said earlier, fighting for basic essential OBGYN care. Not elective care, not elective care, not luxury care, just basic reproduction and gynecological health care. And then to add to the whole male enhancement thing, the recent announcements that they're concerned about the testosterone levels of male veterans over the age of 30. So they're implementing or suggesting the implementation of conducting certain testing to measure testosterone levels in men over 30, and if they're found to be at an unacceptable level, I guess they get to determine what those levels are. They will inject them or give them pills or whatever. So now we got a bunch of raging bulls around the place. And when we talk about the climate around military sexual assault in the military, this is not a good combination. But while women veterans are fighting for access, we are simultaneously watching one of the largest military sex abuse scandals unfold. And that's involving Army OBGYN accused of violating nearly 100 women across multiple duty stations. So let me say that again. We have nearly 100 female veterans, women fighting to defend this country, defending our freedom, across two major medical centers, the Carl R. Darnell Army Medical Center, which is at Fort Hood. Fort Hood, Texas has always got something going on. And then there's the Tripler Army Medical Center in Hawaii. The accused physician is Major Blaine McGaw. Let me make sure I got this name right. Major Blaine McGraw, who is facing 8 charges and 273 specifications under the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And the allegations include abusive sexual contact during pelvic and breast exams, right? Sexual assault of patients who are pregnant, postpartum, or in ICU. Secretly recording pelvic and breast exams without consent and performing unnecessary or gratuitous exams involving groping. At Darnell Base alone, at that medical center, 89 victims have been identified, and at Tripler, 7 have been identified. The alleged misconduct spans from 2019 through 2026. Women have filed for federal claims stating that the Army failed to supervise him, allowing years of continued abuse. So when we talk about women veterans struggling to access OBGYN care, we're not just talking about inconvenience. We're talking about vulnerability. We're talking about risk. We're talking about how the system has already shown in the most devastating way that it cannot guarantee women's safety inside military medical facilities. And then layered on top of this, we have male commentators joking about the VA's male enhancement coverage and the testosterone levels, saying things like, women, you better watch out, or women in other countries, you better watch out. That's not cool. That's not cool. It's almost like you're already laid the foundation for, y'all are going to be in more trouble. And we're just going to go ahead and make a joke out of it. Because that's normal. You know, that's not normal. Think about your wife and your children, the people that you care about. That's not safety. So let me be clear. It's not even humor. It's not harmless commentary. That is an acknowledgement, a public acknowledgement, that increasing sexual performance is in a population with already documented issues of military sexual trauma. And all of this could increase risk to women serving their country. So they're joking about danger, they're joking about assault, they're joking about the very thing women veterans are already living through, including the Darnell and the Tripler. That's not about medication, it's not about messaging. This is about priorities. This is about the current political administration choosing not to protect. They're simply choosing to ignore that this is going to be a problem. How can you not look? Well, let me say, how can you not? Because we are seeing things that are mind-blowing every day with what we're going through in this country. So I can't say how you don't know. How can you choose to ignore? It's just their reality seems to be the only one they count. So let's try to unpack this one.
Just a lie. Does he do it that way?
y'all know here on Ask the Chief, I address the issues of women in the military, women who have gone on from serving in the military to work in law enforcement and also to serve as first responders here in our country. These are women who have the great heart of service. And what happens when you leave the military and you go into these other areas, they have similar types of chains of command. And that lends to similar types of problems with leadership and how women are treated, how policies are enforced or not enforced, and just the nature of the beast. Because not only do women leave the military and go to these organizations, but men leave the military and go to these organizations. And some of those men are the same men who were sexual predators while serving in the military, and they got away with it. And what we're talking about here today is increasing the sexual stimulation in a force where sexual misconduct is already underreported, underprosecuted, and underpunished. Nobody is talking about the increased risk of unwanted pregnancies, STD exposure, or sexual aggression that is going to come along with these men over 30 who they have determined their testosterone levels are low and they need to be injected with more testosterone. I have not heard anyone in the administration say we need to look at the physical fitness standards. We need to make sure that people are more weight in line with the weight and height standards. You look at the force now, it's some big people serving. And, you know, in the Coast Guard, we used to say you need a little more uniform or a little less sailor. But instead, we're going to go right to injecting men with testosterone when at the age of 30 and above, testosterone levels naturally are supposed to decline. You work more at being physically fit. Let's look at the food that people are eating. But you just go right to let's juice them up. That's not safe. That's not safe for the person receiving the juice, and is definitely not safe for the women who are going to be exposed to the additional levels of aggression that comes along with these kinds of treatments and dealing with people who already have the propensity to be abusers. So again, you're not talking about what's going to happen to the women. You just want to make sure your men are beefed up, not talking about even the wives and the daughters of these men. If these men are aggressive and they have this nature in them already, it's a whole family unit that's affected by one thing, by one person having an altered sense of their natural body functions. Just road rage? I'm not sure that's the term I'm looking for, but I just see these crazed people. My imagination is all over the place with this, but why testosterone? Leave it alone. It has nothing to do with winning wars. There is no documented anything that says that that is something that is going to help the troops be more successful in a mission. Nobody's talking about the women who serve, who already face higher rates of assault and lower rates of justice. In the current national climate, where sexual exploitation and trafficking cases are surfacing everywhere, this isn't just a military issue, it's a public safety issue. And women veterans are asking, what are we supposed to do? Where can we run when we're on the ship in the middle of the ocean? Where is our protection? Why is our safety not a part of this conversation? The current percentage of women serving in the military right now, active duty, as of 2026, 17.7% of active duty force, about 232,000 women are serving. National Guard and Reserves is 21%, about 171,000 women serving. So currently 17 to 20% of active duty service members that are serving and deployed are women, and that gives us a stake in the game here, and that gives us that gives them the responsibility to look after us. Take all the women out and you're down to what, 80%? That's not good odds in a war. The current sexual abuse and sexual assault statistics in the military. The prevalence is 1 in 5 female service members experience sexual assault during their military career. 1 in 5. 11.2% of active duty women report unwanted sexual contact. 2% of women report sexual assault in just a 12-month period. And 15% of active duty women report military sexual trauma in the past 12 months. 15%. We're 20% serving. How is it 15% of us are being sexually assaulted? And the unfortunate part when it comes to reporting and accountability, only 12% of the sexual assault incidents are ever reported. 70% of the offenders receive no confinement time. 65% of the predators receive only non-judicial punishment. And 51% of the victims believe reporting will not change anything. And 60% of military sexual trauma survivors do not report due to fear of retaliation. Military sexual trauma health impact. Survivors are 3 times more likely to experience major depressive disorder. They have 2.5 times higher risk of being diagnosed and experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. 45% have reported suicidal ideation. Sexual assault victims have 1.4 times the mental health visits to the mental health facilities per year. That's not good. 75% of the survivors in these demographics, 75% are women, 18% are men, and 7% are transgender service members serving their country. So let's talk a little bit about the policy logic, the risk, in this whole things that are not being discussed when it comes to this testosterone level situation. Testosterone is associated with muscle bulk, bone strength, energy, and weight management. But here's the truth, the male enhancement drugs, they don't increase testosterone. So that is not even something that should be in this conversation about military readiness. All male enhancement drugs do are increase sexual stimulation. Nothing to do with military performance, increasing strength or endurance or military or combat readiness. So in today's military, we have to ask, why is sexual performance and testosterone levels being treated as a readiness priority while women's basic health care is treated as optional? Because when you increase sexual stimulation in a force anywhere, there's male and female. Sexual assault will go underreported. Retaliation is common if you do report it. Convictions are rare, and perpetrators often go unpunished, and you create unpredictable risks, which again, I was talking about unwanted pregnancies, STD exposure, sexual aggression, increased vulnerability for women in uniform, increased vulnerability for wives and daughters, civilian women near the installations, and men. Especially again, these commentators say, oh, women, you better watch out. That's not funny. You know, I did some research as well. Just there are no women in federal senior leadership in this country that are veterans. There are no women veterans on the Supreme Court. We're like really just out here by ourselves. We're representing ourselves in the military. So when the system prioritizes male sexual performance over women's medical safety, it sends a message loud and clear. Women are essential enough, because we're 20% of the force. We are essential enough to serve, but not important enough to protect. And that, family, is the part of the conversation that nobody wants to have. And that's why here on Ask the Chief Radio Show, I talk about those things. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. Is it because other people don't care? I don't think that's it. It's just that women veterans are such a small niche group in the overall society. We don't really have a voice in people looking out for us. We have been making it through and doing, making it do what it do for generations. But we're still here. Because a nation that depends on women to defend it must also defend the women. We're trying to drive this point home. And I'm going to stay here until we start making a difference, little by little. A nation that relies on women's strength must also protect women's health. A nation that honors service must honor all who serve, not just some. This is Trinity Sunshine at Ask the Chief. I'll be right back after these mic drops from our sponsors.
This is Ask the Chief Radio Show, powered by WDRB Media, where women veterans rise, speak, and lead with unapologetic truth. This partnership amplifies our voices, expands our reach, and fuels our movement that cannot be silenced. Ask the Chief Radio Show, strong, unfiltered, unstoppable. Thank you, WDRB.
You know, I was coming up with titles and for this particular segment, and I was like, you know, leave testosterone alone. That's what I came up with, because really, this isn't the type of readiness that we're ready for. Because strength isn't sexual. So you're talking about pumping people full of testosterone on top of these male enhancement drugs. We're going to war. Y'all don't need to be pumped up on nothing but focus. You know, strength isn't sexual. These are policies that ignore women. This is a cause of misplaced priorities. And we're talking about readiness versus reality. The silence around women who serve. Sexual stimulation is not strategy. And this only creates danger to the one, to it, it stranger danger. You know, it just puts women in a place where you're just constantly fighting. Can't we catch a break? Can't we get some reciprocity? We're fighting the enemy within and without, the foreign and the domestic. We just don't have the opportunity to wind down. And then when the mission is over, when the ships pull in, when the duty is over, we have to go home and deal with our families, with all of this other stuff on top of it. And if we have children, we have to deal with that and make it seem like we're sane on the outside, when on the inside we're raging, because we don't even know if we have a spouse, what we're going to have to deal with them. And then how do we have the conversation with our spouse about what we're dealing with these men over here? Because then does that become something that's your fault, your problem, your issue? Are you the problem? Or are you married and spoused up to somebody who is a problem, who is a guy that's juiced up on testosterone and Vialis and Cialis and Levitra? Come on, we need a break. We need somebody standing in our corner. When and how does this happen, y'all? And you have to understand that male enhancement drugs are fully covered for veterans. Government issues those out all day. That's one thing you can get as a veteran. You can get some pills. You can get some pharmaceuticals. You can get some meds. You know? But while women still fight for basic OBGYN, you know who our OBGYN is? Someone who went to a medical school in the military to learn how to give us our GYN exams. And this really kind of triggered me a little bit, because when you have been a victim of sexual assault in the military, and I speak from my military experience, that's why I always throw that in there. I'm sure it happens in overall population, but I speak from a military experience. And I remember getting called in for an exam, and I thought to myself, well, why is it the middle of the day? And I'm sure I've already done this year. And my exam was conducted in an office, but it was the office of the medical PA, the physician assistant, who typically does them anyway. And I remember that he had the table with the stirrups and everything in that particular office, but the office windows opened up to the parking lot, and there's the parking lot, and then just beyond that were the Coast Guard cutters that were at my particular station in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. And I remember the curtains being drawn, and me, during the middle of the day, it was just so weird, but I had put that in the back of my mind and didn't even think about it until this particular OBGYN situation got reported here. And I had an exam right there in the middle of the day, in the middle of the room, and it was a weird exam. So these things are triggering as well, but already in my head, when it took me back there, I'm thinking about the women who are currently serving. And again, just going back to, women are always on constant alert. We're talking readiness, responsibility, accountability, and the dangerous message this sends to each and every woman who serves. Again, if a nation depends on women to defend it, it must also defend women. Leave testosterone alone. We must really ask the question, why is sexual performance being treated as military readiness? Why does testosterone level need to be managed? We have nearly 100 women who have come forward with sexual abuse allegations against an Army OBGYN at two major military hospitals. Carl Darnell Army Medical Center, Tripler Army Medical Center. These are not isolated incidents. This is system failure. The policy problem, male enhancement drugs are fully covered. Women's reproductive health care is debated, delayed, and denied. And it happens in the middle of the workday. You can just be called in and say it's time. This imbalance is not accidental. It's structural. It's in the fiber of how the military is operating right now. The real risk, increasing sexual stimulation in a force with low reporting, low accountability, low conviction rates, creates predictable dangers. Unwanted pregnancies, STD exposure, increased sexual aggression, increased vulnerability. Oh, sometimes I can't say that word, y'all. Increased vulnerability. Y'all X this out. You know what I'm saying. Vulnerability for women who serve. Sorry about that. And the data goes right to it. Women make up 20% of the active duty force. And 1 in 5 will experience sexual assault. Only 12% of those will report it. 70% of the offenders receive no punishment. Come on now. And women are essential enough to serve, but not important enough to protect. We have to fix this. This is a part of the conversation that nobody wants to have, but we're going to have it here. So I'd say, listen. If you have women veterans, women first responders, women law enforcement in your sphere of influence, in your family, in your friend circle, listen to them. Listen to them. Let them speak. Share with them. And you guys, reach out to sistersinsilence.org. Go to the website. There are resources there. All of the radio show segments will be there. You can share these segments with them. Download them. And if there's anything that they have questions about and you can't find resources at sistersinsilence.org, reach out to me at oneweserveall@gmail.com. And I would gladly sit down and have a conversation and try to lead you in the right direction and help us together find resources that we can continue to share with all of the women in our community. And this is Trinity Sunshine, Ask the Chief Radio here at WDRB, where we're having real conversations using real data and having suggesting ways for real protection for those who protect us. Because defending our nation starts with defending the women who serve as well. Because this is not about politics, it's about people. Thank y'all for tuning in this week to Ask the Chief Radio here at WDRB Media. Until next time, y'all take care of each other. I salute you.